Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Kansas City School Superintendent Stephen Green was going to be the guy who finally stuck around. He wound up sticking around for nearly 4 years, but now he's off to the Atlanta area where he's set to lead the DeKalb County School District. The reason? Kids and grandkids live in the area. Said Green when he made his announcement, it has everything to do with family and nothing to do with the school board. Dr. Steve Green's in the studio and he joins me now. Steve, congratulations. So many folks hate to see you go.
Thank you. Unique opportunity that came about, and after talking with family, we decided that that was something that we had to do.
I was going to say, was it really about the family and nothing to do with the school board?
Absolutely. I love here at Kansas City. I've enjoyed the work. I've enjoyed the struggle to bring Kansas City Public Schools back into being relevant in the conversation around education here in the community. And we were fine. But we did say to ourselves, my wife and I, if an opportunity came close to where our kids are, because we miss them dearly, and our grandkids, we have four grandkids, and three of them live in the area. They're 3, 3, and 7.
In Atlanta,
mm-hmm. Right. And so we said if the opportunity came, we'd at least explore the opportunity. And if it happened, fine. If it didn't, we'd at least know that we had tried to kind of relocate close to them. And this just kind of fell together.
What was so enjoyable about the struggle here to improve these schools?
Well, it was almost, to me, it became a belief in our children, a belief in our staff, a conviction around what they could do and what I saw with a great potential when I stepped into this role. And somehow that was being missed, and somehow it was being missed because of some of the things that we were not doing well in terms of being very, very focused and organized and structured. And I felt that if we put the right system in place, that the students' talents, the talent of teachers and administrators would come forth and would show dramatic improvement. And I think the evidence speaks for itself.
And you feel that that happened?
Yes.
Clearly.
Yeah, I clearly think it happened. It's going to continue to happen.
Yeah. I was really struck at your news conference announcing your departure. You became emotional talking about the district's teachers and considering your message to them. You said four words in thinking about the future and the challenges ahead. You said to them, you can do this. What was behind that emotion?
Well, I think there's a point in time when a new leader comes into a situation that we faced. I mean, it was obviously a very crisis situation in 2011, and a lot at stake. And so it was one of those moments in which there was a lot of focus on me. There's a lot of focus on, can Steve Green lead us out of this mess? And, and as we've evolved and emerged over the last 4 years, there's a point in which the leader says to the folks who are following him or her that it really wasn't about me. It's really about what you did. It's really about what you're capable of. I just helped you discover that. And that was really what I was saying there.
Mm-hmm. And you're emotional. Why?
Oh, it was just an important moment when I think the question was asked, what would I say upon my departure? And it was emotional that we've, thinking about how far we've come from where we were and thinking about, the kind of pivotal moment in which the leader says, it's time now for me to move into onto another chapter in my life. But that also means that it really is time for you, as those who are following me, to realize that the ability to continue and sustain is here with you. We've built a system. We've built something together that's very, very important. We've overcome tremendous odds together. And now it rests with you.
We're visiting with Dr. Stephen Green. He's the outgoing superintendent of Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools. Lots of words can be used to describe your tenure here in Kansas City, Dr. Green. One of them is stability. And, you almost made it to 4 years. I'm wondering what's being lost by the fact that you're now leaving at the end of almost 4 years.
Well, I don't know. I think there's still work to be done in terms of refining a system that's, I think it's well on its way, but there's always, my administrative kind of mantra when I was being trained was that no matter how good you are, you can always get better. And we know that our students are capable of more. and that we have a responsibility and opportunity to draw that out of them. And so those are the kinds of things that, you know, there's still unfinished business. And again, so I think, but I'm very confident that the leadership that's here, the structure that's here, the talent that's here will sustain that. What I worry about is, you know, again, in my absence, there are forces out there. Let's be candid, but there are forces out there that benefited when the district was weak. They benefited financially. They benefited tremendously, and a weakened school district is a target for a lot of folks who might take advantage of that. And
forces
so,
like what?
Oh, I think I don't want to go into a lot of detail here,
you're
but I think
not.
We all,
you can be candid.
Yeah, we all know that you know there's a political landscape here in Kansas City. There's a fiscal, you know, power and pull and structure that goes on, as with any, not just Kansas City. It's in a lot of urban districts, and it's a lot of, you know, places across this country where power and politics start to infuse and infect a system and pull it down and weaken it. And so I think we need to be very, very vigilant. We need to be, as a community, and we need to be very, very focused on building on what's already been established here and sustaining and extending that and not allowing anything to interfere with it.
How much of your time was spent fighting those forces that you're describing here?
A good bit. I mean, you saw it. It played out very well in the media quite a bit, not only just here in Kansas City, but also in Jefferson City.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we've come a long way in terms of turning some minds and turning some folks into realizing that what's happened here is real. It was very strategic. It was very deliberate. And it can be sustained. And we could be and should be an exemplar of what can happen in an urban district when you have the kind of mobilization and focus. And so, again, some of those battles still need to be waged as far as the politics around urban districts, the politics, what happens inside of urban districts. Those kinds of things still need to be fought.
You know, the concern, and you've heard this a million times, is that, you know, Dr. Stephen Green had his system. Dr. John Covington, a previous superintendent, had his system. Someone new is going to come in here and bring, you know, his or her new system.
Mm-hmm.
And this stability, this sense of continuity that's built up during your tenure then goes away. At mm-hmm. least that's sort of the argument. You buy it? Is it true?
No, I don't think.
Been the concern that's rocked this district for decades.
Yeah, but I think in this case, I think this is a unique circumstance here. I think this is the outcome, the body of work speaks for itself. The metrics speak for themselves, whether you're looking at us operationally, academically, or financially. The Kansas City Public Schools is on very sound footing and moving in the right direction. I don't know how long it's been since that we could say that. And I'm not trying to be critical of my predecessors, but again, I think there's a foundation and there's a structure here that was deliberately put in place to outlive me as a superintendent. Kansas City is in a position to no longer be superintendent dependent. You see changes going on through other superintendencies across this city. Whether that's my colleague Todd White in North Kansas City, whether it's my colleague Tom Trigg,
right,
et cetera,
now.
They move on, and that the system is still there, and so they're not going to falter that system. And Kansas City is in that same situation. It can endure or survive a change in leadership and not lose its focus.
Well, you say the district is on sound footing. Critics would say it's on sounder footing. It's still a partially accredited school district,
mm-hmm.
not fully accredited. It's got a ways to go.
Just wait a few weeks, months, and then we'll have another conversation about, okay, well, now you're fully accredited, at least eligible for that, and we'll see if the state grants that.
Well, and so you're suggesting that the test scores that are about to come out in the next month or two are going to suggest that this district is now eligible for full accredited.
Confident.
And do you know something that we should know?
Well, we know. I mean, we don't go into the assessment not knowing where our children are. That's maybe something that had happened in the past. But we know exactly through the formative assessments and the interim assessments that we
through your own testing
through our own testing that we kind of get a clear indication. And some of the data is already in with regard to our high school assessments. And so we know we have a pretty good indication, pretty good theory of probability of where we're going to come out. at a low end, conservative end, and at a high end. And in either one of those, I think we're going to be eligible for full accreditation conversation.
And the trick there is that typically the state folks want to wait a year or two to see if these results are consistent before they grant full accreditation. Do you have any reason to think that full accreditation could come as early as this fall?
I'm going to advocate strongly for that. I have a team that's ready to do that. Even from my distance, I'm going to be advocating strongly that the change of classification, that we should get what we've earned. And there are a couple of other districts that are in the same situation. This idea of that you're split in terms of what you've earned, in terms of the APR accountability system, what your classification is, I think that needs to be challenged. I think it very much needs to be challenged. There are districts that are provisionally accredited that are really have earned an unaccredited situation. We are one that I think will turn out to be fully accredited, and I think we should get that.
So you're saying Definitely. The Kansas City School District is ready to go, full accreditation right now?
I think we have. It will turn out over the course of the next few months that we will be eligible for that discussion. I'm very, very confident.
Hey, what difference would it make for this district, Dr. Green, for it to be fully accredited going forward? What difference is that going to make?
I think it's very much like our financial situation. When we score 3 perfect audits in a row, then Standard & Poor's looks at that and says, you know what, we're going to change your classification. We're going to make you A+. And I think that it should be recognized. The body of work and the 4 years of successive and progressive growth ought to be recognized and acknowledged. Mm-hmm. And I think we're about ready to enter into a conversation that Kansas City Public Schools has never had the opportunity to have, is that we are fully accredited and we want you to change our classification accordingly based on what we've earned.
Dr. Stephen Green is my guest. He's the outgoing superintendent of the Kansas City, Missouri Public School System. If you want to join our conversation here, as always, you're welcome to do so. 816-235-2888 is our phone number. Again, 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Dr. Green, you've been referring to this system, your system that you put in place a number of years ago. So what did you do? What was the secret to what you did to begin getting this direction headed in what so many folks now regard as the right direction?
Well, I think we began to assess, reallocate resources to the classroom. We focused on students first, and we made the sacrifices. We took from some areas that we didn't think were necessarily directly focused on what needed to happen in the classroom. We redid the curriculum. First thing we did was in the spring of 2012, we brought in a team of 20 to 25 folks from the State Department to do a curricular audit, very much like you do your finances, a curricular audit. How much are we aligned to the state standards? Where are there gaps in articulation between one class and the next class, et cetera? And we just redid the curriculum. We brought in Robert Marzano to help us look at it. He's a known figure around best teaching practices, and we built that into our instructional practice. And then we built a system to kind of monitor and measure whether or not what we expected to happen in terms of instruction in the classroom was really happening. Mm-hmm. And so it's about accountability. It's about a structure that you implement with fidelity and you stay with it. And we've been refining it for the last 3 years. And every year we've gotten not just a little better, a lot better. And still needs some work. It's still not a perfect structure, but it is the structure that is sound and solid. That's what I mean by sound footing. That it can be built upon and enhanced.
This is basic stuff, building blocks I hear you describing here.
Exactly. Very similar to that. And one of the things that urban districts, not just Kansas City, because they're pulled and pushed in so many different ways and there's so much politics, they don't get the chance to really dial in and have a zoom lens focus on the classroom. And so what happens is they get pulled off of their course, the rotating leadership sometimes or whatever happens, they get pulled off their course, and there's just really kind of just loose and scrambling and not really locked in and focused on the kinds of metrics, the same kinds of metrics you should have around your finances, you should have around your academics.
Hey, I'm losing my timeline a little bit in my head here, but as you became superintendent in 2011, it was the next year, I want to say that summer of 2012, when the district lost its partial accreditation and went down to basically nothing.
Actually, it was January 2012.
January 2012,
The commissioner announced it in the fall of that she was going to strip the district of its accreditation at the board meeting, the state board meeting in January 2012, and that's what happened.
I'm wondering what kind of moment that was for you. How dark of a moment was that?
It was very dark. It was, I mean, it was very disheartening in some regards, but also, you know, like a lot of athletes, and you use that as a trigger for fight and for inspiration and for you use it to mobilize your troops. You as a general would, and you have a common target that you need to reach, and you have a hill or a mountain that you've got to climb, and you go for it.
Dr. Stephen Green's my guest. Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. This is a great opportunity to ask him questions about the challenges facing the district that he's leaving behind here. Jennifer from Kansas City, Missouri, you're on with Dr. Green. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Dr. Green.
Good morning, Jennifer.
How are you?
Okay.
I am a parent in the Kansas City Public Schools. I have been involved for over 9 years, and more recently for the last four with Dr. Green as a parent leader when he came on in 2011. So it's really just a comment, and I want to thank Dr. Green for actually coming in and finally stabilizing the environment. It was when he came in, and as he says, you know, I think it was you, Steve, that mentioned, you know, there's been a lot of rotating superintendents. Everybody thinks there's going to be a Superman, and everybody's going to have a silver bullet. But what was great about Dr. Green was that he's an educator, and he knows there are no silver bullets, and that it's really just true focus and stability, focus on the classroom and getting that right and kind of stripping away everything else that's not working and that's taking away our energies. And he is the person that brought that here, but he also created a very, very strong team, what I would call a really deep bench. And so as a parent who has seen my share of the comings and goings of superintendents and some of the chaos and instability, what I know now because of my working with Dr. Green is that we are in such a different position upon his leaving because of his leadership and his focus and his team. And so I really just want to say thank you. And we wish him the very, very best. If I could tell the folks down in DeKalb anything, it'd be that been there, done that. The guy that could help you get out of the situation is on his way. And I wish him very much. Good luck.
Thank you.
Nice phone call. Thanks, Jennifer. Appreciate it. You know, asked about your legacy, Steve, one of your predecessors, John Martin, said the district was considered non-viable when you took the helm in 2011, and you changed that, obviously. Martin said you brought credibility to the district. I'm wondering, what do you think your biggest contribution was? Is that it, or is it something else?
Well, I think, I think showing against the odds, I think we were in a situation where we actually had to defy gravity, and showing folks here in Kansas City. I think Kansas City was the school district is like any other human being in some regards. Low self-esteem, didn't think much of itself.
Has that changed?
I think that's changed. I think there's a pride. There's a we can do this. That's what I was saying to the teachers. I think there's reborn confidence inside the Kansas City Public Schools, but I also think that we've earned some credibility and respect externally. Some folks who had left the district, who said it was washed up, had turned their backs on the district and said no more, have changed their minds and said, you know what, this is real. This is not what it was before, and we're going to get on board. And so we've been able to, and a legacy that I see is being able to re-invite folks back to the conversation and involvement and the partnership with the Kansas City Public Schools, investing their time or their talent or their financial resources in the Kansas City Public Schools. Some of the same institutions and organizations that have pretty much almost said, you know, we're not going to invest anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that to me is an important development towards sustainability, and I think it's an important legacy that I'd like to say that I had a role in.
And so from that dark moment in 2012 when things looked so bleak, and you said a few minutes ago you had to defy gravity in a sense, you did that how? What was the mission statement going forward from that point?
Well, I mean, I knew from within, looking at the district from inside out, what the potential was. It's just like you see in individuals. A coach sees it in a kid. A teacher sees it in a child. I saw it as the leader of the Kansas City Public Schools. This district has great potential. It's just not realized that potential, and it's up to me as the leader to help bring that forth. Mm-hmm. And that it meant having hard conversations inside about how we're going to do things. Sometimes it meant me being very prescriptive about the way we're going to approach things. Sometimes it meant having hard discussions about, well, what's the best strategy here. So we had a lot of strategic sessions, but at the end of the day, and who could be on the team and who could be a part of the team and who was really not fit for the work that was ahead of us, because we were in for a tremendous uphill struggle. Mm-hmm. And some people were not really, that's not for them. And so we had to go through that process of kind of weeding and seeding and sorting and sifting to get to the point of who's going to be the team and who's going to be with us going forward. And, you know, we had, as I said, given the dynamics that were unfurling in Jefferson City, and we all kind of know what was really happening. We didn't know at the time, but we knew we were up against something that was powerful, almost a conspiracy of sort that we were working against. And in some ways, it helped. It's one of those situations where if it doesn't break you, it's going to make you stronger if you pass through it. And
Jeff City wasn't helping you, is what you're suggesting.
Yeah, well, you know, the commissioner was, and I didn't know it at the time, found out in 2013. I kind of realized something after we made 80, you know, we'd gone from 22.5 points to 84 points, and there was very little recognition of such a dramatic increase and turnaround. And the question was, in the kind of moving narrative was, well, you did it, but can you do it again? And so, I was wondering about that lukewarm response, but that all came out and was well known in the media in terms of the conversations.
The different agenda that Chris McCastro, the former state school superintendent,
correct,
had, is this new program she wanted to implement.
Right, the C-Trust thing, mm-hmm, and all that came about. But all that galvanized us. All that made us just fight harder and stronger when you have an adversarial situation like that. And it just really helped mobilize the troops, so to speak, so that we fought harder to do what we had to do. And I think we got even our children recognized it as well, that we're up against something, and we're proud of our school district.
Let's do this, Dr. Green. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation here, and we'll talk about some of the stereotypes that sort of dominate the work that Dr. Green does. And one of those is that parents of the district aren't really engaged with their kids, aren't doing enough to help them get through these tough school years. We'll talk to Dr. Green about that and how to keep focus on the classroom and urban education, among other challenges. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed our conversation about America's changing relationship with organized religion, or about the challenges facing entrepreneurs when it comes to access to capital here in Kansas City, you can find those conversations. Just go to kcur.org. Well, this segment we're visiting with Dr. Steve Green. He is the outgoing superintendent of Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888. You know, we're talking a little bit in our first half, Steve, about the challenges you faced. You know, one of those challenges is stereotypes and all these different images that people have of what you're up against in an urban school district like Kansas City. Well, one of those stereotypes is that parents in an urban school district don't care and need to be goosed to sort of engage and get more involved with their kids. And to that, you would say what?
I would say that's absolutely untrue.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. And I fashion myself as a stereotype buster in regard to that. And I think any of our parents would rise up and say that that's not true as well.
Yeah,
I think well, there are challenges that they face, and given those challenges, do those sometimes get in the way of their opportunity to be as involved or as present as they'd like? Certainly, yeah. But to have a generalization like that, I just think is misapplied and mm-hmm. and not worthy of really much more conversation.
You also mentioned in our first half this notion that one of the challenges of urban education is not to lose focus on what's going on in the classroom, as so many other issues tend to swirl around a superintendent and a district. Tell me about that. Why is that so important? I mean, you're right. People get sort of lost in the shuffle here in terms of what's really important sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, you've heard me talk about, we've kept a laser-like focus, and that's become kind of a coined phrase here, a laser-like focus on student achievement. That's what's kept us through all the storm, all the storms that were swirling around us, the C trust, people picking and pulling at us. Again, we pared down to a very simple focus: student achievement, regaining accreditation. That's at the top of the agenda of every cabinet meeting. We meet once a week, and every Monday morning, we start with that. And then we've let that kind of permeate the rest of the culture in the Kansas City Public Schools. That means you have to keep at bay all the other vendors want to be around school districts because they think they have the magic answers. Everybody wants a contract. Everybody wants to be a part of, et cetera. And we just said, no, we're staying focused. And even in the midst of all that was going on in Jefferson City, the threat of transfer, the threat of a state takeover, all that, we were Zoom lens focused on what was most important in terms of working with our students, meeting them where they were, and making sure that they grew and they improved in their instruction. They have improved to the tune of 143%. They've made progress over the last 2 years, and we're proud of that. And to those who would say that it hasn't been in academics, they're absolutely wrong. There's no way you could improve the way we have without improving students in their academic performance.
How close do you think you came to losing your job as the state considered that takeover a couple of years ago? How close was it?
I don't know. I never thought about my job necessarily. I think what we came close to losing was the whole notion of local control. Mm-hmm. I think it was targeted at governance. I would have been just a casualty of the whole process of the superintendent's position, but it was targeted at the governance structure and at the school board. Mm-hmm. And we would have lost the opportunity to have local control here in Kansas City, and it would have been controlled by someone else in Jefferson City telling us what we should do here. And I think that was the big threat.
Now, one big project on hold as you leave office, Steve, involves the district's partnership with Academy Lafayette for, you know, this international high school on the Southwest High School campus. This idea ran into some opposition even from those within the district. Why is it so important in your view to continue to push for some sort of relationship with Academy Lafayette?
Well, whether it's Academy Lafayette, I mean, that just came, coincidentally about because of their program and their desire for an international school, global literacy, our interest in that because we have some language-rich schools, language-focused schools like our Foreign Language Academy and our Carver Dual Language. And the question arose is what happens for those students after eighth grade? And can we create something that would be nice for them and keep that that concept going after we've kind of gotten them all excited for 8 years about that? And that's how that came about. But it's become, you know, again, the political and other kinds of concerns in the community, which I think are, you know, I hear and I recognize and I think are important to have. I think they may be a prerequisite before we can even talk about whether it's Academy Lafayette or any other kind of global studies, global international schools. We got to have a conversation about race, class, and geography in the city, because I think what that teased up, or at least kind of reopened, is some of the wounds and issues with regard to that. So it's not just about Academy Lafayette partnership. That just happened to emerge as something that seemed to be reasonable to do.
Because critics said what you're creating here is a school for richer white kids. And that was what the complaint was at the time. And to that, you said what?
Well, no, I think I have a firm belief in our kids that it will be, half of the students will be our kids, and it will be as diverse as we are. Mm-hmm. It will reflect who we are, and so I don't think it'll be have that outcome. I think that the mm-hmm. folks are worried about something that I don't think that's necessarily going to materialize.
You were really open during your tenure of working with charter schools, and that's obviously another challenge the next superintendent is going to face. You know, other Kansas City superintendents have been reluctant to be so cooperative with charter schools. Why were you so willing to work with them?
Well, because I saw that it was a lose-lose scenario for both the charter schools and for the Kansas City Public Schools to fight over children. I think that gets us nowhere. I think the collaboration, we teach our kids that collaboration is important. We say that collaboration is going to be important in the 21st century if you're going to be able to get anywhere, even if you're the smartest person in the world, if you can't collaborate with anyone. So we figured we'd model what we expect of our children, find a way to work together, find common ground. And I think that some of the goals that we both have, we can get there faster, better together than apart. And I know I've been on several charter school boards, and I know their struggle. I know their struggle financially. I know their financial model has challenges with it, et cetera. And I think we have resources here that in the traditional public school that they don't have. And so I think putting them both together, putting the best of both together is probably the way we're going to wind up. My colleagues don't have the charter school challenge that we have here in the Kansas City Public Schools. So they don't have that kind of interesting mix of competition, need to collaborate scenario mm-hmm. in which it's really a limited number of students and everybody's kind of fighting over those students. And I'm saying nobody's going to win.
Mm-hmm. You know, the idea of universal, another issue, the idea of universal preschool is popular, but there are some obstacles here too, Steve. What's the biggest barrier to making universal preschool a reality in Kansas City, Missouri?
Oh, boy.
I mean, money.
Yeah, money Hello. In some regards, yeah. but I don't see money. I mean, given the return on the investment, for every $1 put in, you get $7 out. I don't understand that. I don't understand the politics around it even. I don't see why anybody would not be for not only supporting but investing in universal pre-K. It makes every bit of sense in the world, and it will benefit this community in every way that you can think of.
You know, who decides which children deserve a good pre-K education?
I think we all decide.
Mm-hmm.
I think the community decides.
And what kind of impact do you think pre-K would have on low-income families going forward?
I think it has the potential to change the circumstances of and the trajectory of those families in their socioeconomic situation, but also it has the opportunity to allow them to become viable and to contribute in many, many ways that they haven't been able to in our community. So I think it's a win-win-win-win uplift for everyone.
Dr. Steve Green, the outgoing superintendent of Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools, is my guest. Let's go back to some calls at 816-235-2888. Cecilia from Kansas City, Missouri, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
I have a couple of questions for Dr. Green. I, not too long ago, moved from DeKalb County back to Kansas City. I lived there 10 years. I'm a little bit familiar with the school system, even though I taught in Fulton County. I still was familiar. So my question is, what do you feel, Dr. Green, that you're taking from your experience here into DeKalb County? And also, what do you see will be the challenges there? Because my experience of it is it's pretty much middle and upper middle class, you know, maybe a little different socioeconomic situation.
Thanks, Cecilia.
Yeah, I think what I'm bringing to DeKalb is something that I think they have indicated that they need is someone who knows curriculum, who knows assessment, and who knows instruction. I think my predecessor, who's there now, has done a good job of stabilizing some of the financial parts of the district. It's gone into some significant challenges. It was in a deficit. Also, there was the State Department almost rendered it unaccredited based on governance issues and recalibrated that board. So there were challenges there. It was fraught with cronyism, nepotism, racketeering. Those things have been, for the most part, cleaned up. But what they did was, very much like here in Kansas City, in the course of dealing with all that, lost sight of the focus on children and the focus on curriculum instruction and academics. And I think their interest in me was based on looking at my background in instruction, curriculum, and academics to to bring the next stage of development for them to address those areas in terms of student achievement and student improvement.
So that laser-like focus, saying that you have here, be forewarned, Atlanta, here it comes down there too.
I think, yeah, they think they looked at what was happening here, they saw that and wanted it to me to bring the same kind of background experience and expertise there.
Just a couple of final points in the minute we have left here, Steve. You know, one other need you've talked about frequently and a challenge for the next super is this idea of building enrollment. Why is that important, building enrollment for this Kansas City, Missouri School District?
Well, I think it's just a testament to how well you're doing. I mean,
kids want to come there.
Right. Declining enrollment is just, you know, it's also an indication of maybe you're not doing well. Increased enrollment indicates that you are doing well. I think.
How has that changed under your tenure? Have you slowed the decline?
Not only slowed it, we'll show growth this year.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it'll be small growth. It'll be 200 to 300. But I mean, we were declining for a period of time. Some of that was brought on by external forces too. Transfer starts to create almost an engineer type of exodus from a school district. Even the threat of transfer and being unaccredited certainly does that too. So having started to climb the rung of accreditation and also the fact that we are financially stable and the other kinds of programs that we're offering have started to bring families back, or those who were thinking about leaving have decided to stay, and now we're going to show some growth as we look in the fall.
Well, Dr. Green, it's been a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for all your good work here, and lots of folks wishing you the best of luck down in Atlanta. You'll be missed.
Thank you very much. It's a
pleasure. Which is saying a lot for a superintendent for the Kansas City, Missouri schools. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, we don't get that often. Thank
you.
I'm honored. It's been an honor and a pleasure to work here, and I will still always have a place in my heart for the Kansas City Public Schools.
All the best, Steve.
Thank you.